We're going to talk about the power of prayer, okay? I'm excited about getting into this. When we talk about miracles, when we talk about how to approach God for the things that we need in this life, we got to talk about prayer. So there's a story that was told about a substitute Sunday school teacher that was struggling that Sunday to open up the supply cabinet, okay? And she couldn't get the combination on the lock to work. So she was just exasperated. She didn't know what to do. So she ran to the preacher and she asked the preacher, "I can't remember the combination. Can you come help me get in the supply closet?" And so the preacher came and he turned to the first number just fine, turned to the second number, and then he stopped. And he stared blankly ahead. And his teacher thought to herself, "Oh, great. You know, the preacher can't even remember either." Finally, the preacher paused. He looked heavenward, and he moved his lips a little bit, and then he looked back at the lock, and he turned to that third number and opened it right up. And the teacher was like, "Oh my goodness, preacher, it's a miracle. I cannot believe that God answered your prayer. I am in awe of your faith." And the preacher answers that, "It's really nothing. The number's on a piece of tape on the ceiling, right?" I thought that was way better than y'all did. Hey, and I don't know if there's not a little bit of truth to this, because no lie, I did serve a church where the combination was on a piece of tape on the wall. I'm not even kidding. So anyway, but the power of prayer, it works. And when we look at those stories in the Bible and we look at those miraculous stories that happen, we read and we're like, you know, these seem to just happen to ordinary people, but why don't they happen for me? Right? Like, how come God doesn't answer me when I pray? Like, I mean, doesn't God want to do a miracle in my life? And I believe that he does. I believe that God wants to work. And like I've been saying through this whole series, God of miracles in this year, you know, with whatever's ahead, I believe that God wants to do amazing things in and through you and in and through the life of this congregation. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about how to pray. I want to talk about power prayers. Okay, and I want to give you a few principles on how to pray, because the truth is, the Bible talks a lot about this. It has a lot to say about prayer. And for our time together today, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to stay in Luke a little bit just because of our studies that are going on in the church as we're reading through the book of Luke. You're at the beginning of Luke. You'll be reading chapters 1 through 3 this week, but save this story for Luke 18. It'll be coming up later. But this is the story you're probably familiar with. It's the blind beggar. And I think it teaches us a few things on how we approach Jesus, on how to say a power prayer. Now, this is good for us, and I want to talk about this today, because even if you're not praying for anything right now, even if things aren't tough right now, you do know you'll need to one day, right? You'll need to sometime this year, because this world is tough. This world is hard, but we serve someone that's greater. So let's talk about how do we approach this God of the universe when it comes to what we feel we need. And I'm just going to jump right in. If you got your message notes, let's go ahead and start filling in some blanks. We've got 5 points to work through. If you're online today, I'm so glad that you're worshiping with us. You can check that out on the Ridge app and follow along with us there. Number one, when it comes to a power prayer, number one, you got to be passionate. You got to be passionate. You got to pray with heart. You got to pray with intensity. You got to pray with feeling, with urgency. You need to let God feel your heart in those prayers. Let's see how this plays out with the blind beggar in Luke 18. Let's start this story together. It says this: as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked, "What's happening?" That they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this guy has heard about Jesus. This guy, though, he's lost in the crowd. He doesn't know where Jesus is. He can't see, of course, right? So the only option he has is to yell for Jesus. He's just yelling out. He knows there's a lot. Of course, he can hear. So he hears the hustle and bustle, and he hears what's going on. But it doesn't stop him from just passionately yelling out for Jesus. You can hear the intensity in his voice. So last Sunday, I'm walking down the hallway. and I pass by the kids' room, and I hear one of my favorite friends yell, "Jimmy!" And so I stop, and I look inside, and it's my little friend, Anna Kate. Y'all remember Anna Kate, right? So she proceeds to tell me that it is her fifth birthday last Sunday, and she is very excited about her birthday party, and I asked her, I said, "Well, what are you getting?" And you know, I'm looking for whatever little girls are into, like Barbies or whatever. And she looks at me and she gets so excited and she says, "I want a telescope." And just another instance of never knowing what's going to come out of Anna Kate, right? I have no idea. A telescope. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so we talked and she was just so excited about this. And so on Monday, I texted Gabe and Sarah and I was like, "So did she get the telescope?" And he was like, of course she did. And why not? That's what she's excited about. Like you could hear the passion in the way that she was talking about it, right? So this is kind of the way I view God. I think God is listening for the intensity of our requests. Like, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And this is so good for us to remember because so many times we're just going through the motions, right? Be honest. Like, how many times do we pray just to check it off the list? Just pray because I know I need to, like, I know this circumstance, like, I know we got to pray, like, we need to do this here now, and, like, I don't want to start the day without it, so I'm just going to throw one up. And it's just kind of like one of those Christian daily duties that we don't really think about. And honestly, it's easy to get into a rut sometimes with our prayers. And we just say the same old, same old. We don't really think about it. And honestly, the longer we're a Christian, you know, when we become a Christian and the longer we live into that, it's so easy to get stuck in those ruts because we learn the right phrases to say. Like, we learn the right things to do and we learn the right rhymes and whatever it is. And I think about this whenever it comes to praying for food, for instance. You know, when we're sitting around the dinner table and I know it's supposed to, you know, we got to say a prayer because that's what we're supposed to do. And when we remember to pray, we often say it so quickly just to kind of get through so that we can start eating, right? So we'll say that little line, like, "Just bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies for your service," right? And I'm done and I'm ready to eat. One time I was at some guy's house and he called for prayer and we prayed right before the meal. And he actually said, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub." And I was like, "Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to have to call a penalty on that one." I think even God's up in heaven going, "Seriously, dude, come on." There's got to be a little bit more than that. So, and I started thinking about this last year sometime, and I was like, you know, those kind of prayers, and it's good to say those prayers, of course, like I want to, it's important to, but at the same time, it's like, how can I put a little bit of my heart even into this repetitive thing that I'm accustomed to doing before I eat? And so now whenever I say a prayer over a meal, I try to just throw something in there, like praying for protection for my girls, or praying, you know, thanking God for the people that are around the table, right? Just something in there that shows a little heart, because I think that's what God's after. He wants to hear your heart when you pray to him. And when I think of somebody that had real passion in his prayers, like showed a little heart in how he approached God, you got to think of King David. And you read his Psalms and you're like, oh my goodness, like I wish I had that kind of heart. Like I wish, I need to approach God this way. In fact, let me show you one of his Psalms. In Psalm 142, verses 1 through 2, he says this. He says, "Loudly I cry to the Lord, loudly I plead with the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaints in your presence." I love that. I'm crying, I am pleading, I am pouring out. This is a God that was passionate when he came before God. And it's no wonder that God heard his prayers, that God was moved on behalf of King David. So here's the first lesson that we learn. Like when we come to Jesus, and we need him to answer. We need him to work. We need him to guide and provide for whatever this is. God, I'm looking for a miracle in this area of my life. Like, do you come to him with heart? Like, I think a power prayer, like, I think it means that I've got to give him. So I actually think it's better to pray with all heart and no words than all words and no heart, right? We need to pray passionately. And just like a good father who was going to go look for a telescope because their little girl asked for it with such passion, right? That's how we move the heart of God. So when you pray, put your heart into it. This guy, this is what he's doing, right? He is yelling out. You can hear the intensity in his voice. The second thing we learned from this blind beggar is that he is persistent. Okay, number two, we got to be persistent when we're approaching God. In other words, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep praying no matter what, and we cannot get discouraged. And I want to show you how this plays out. In this story with the blind beggar, he's been yelling at the crowd. And I imagine everybody's, you know, it's a huge crowd. Things are getting a little chaotic. And this guy, he's probably getting to be a little bit of a nuisance, right? So it's no surprise that this happens next. Look at verse 39. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. Like, they're looking at this guy. They're like, hey, crazy guy, calm down. Settle down. Like, we're all getting ready for Jesus to talk. Like, we're all paying attention, right? And you're yelling. And you're creating a scene. Be quiet. And what does he do? But he only shouted louder. I love this. This guy, man. Let me tell you, he's not going to miss his chance. Right? He is not going to stop, and you can't make him stop. He is just going to keep, he is determined. I love this guy. Let me ask you this. When it comes to your prayers, when you're praying for God to work or move, are you persistent in it? Would you say that you are relentless? Like, is that a word that you could use to describe your prayers and how you approach God? Or do you just kind of pray for it once? Or you pray for it every so often, and then if you don't really get an answer, you're like, oh, well, I tried. See, I think that that type of attitude when it comes to prayer is common in most Christians. But Scripture encourages us not to give up. Let me show you a few pieces of Scripture that point to this fact that we are supposed to keep on keeping on. Colossians 4:2 says, never give up praying. And when you pray, keep alert. Keep watching. Keep waiting for God. And keep praying. Never give up. Another one, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just says very short, very, very poignant, never stop praying. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, but so powerful. Don't stop. Keep at it. Give it everything you have. Also, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, he says, keep on asking and you'll receive what you have for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Keep on, keep on, keep on going after God. And my plan is to overwhelm you with Scripture because there's so much Scripture in the Bible that says to be persistent when we approach our God. But I know y'all want to go to lunch today, so I'm not going to keep going. But instead, I want to answer a question when it comes to this, because this is something that's always been in the back of my mind. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but why? Why? Like, why does God want us to be persistent? Like, why would he want us to keep asking? Like, what's the point in it? Let me give you a few reasons, and I want to focus on two. And these aren't in your message notes. You can just write these down off to the side if you want to. But persistence clarifies. Did I put that in there? I sure did. Look at that. I was ready for that. Look at that. Persistence clarifies. If you just want to write that down off to the side of that point, it clarifies things. It shows how much I really want something. Like when I'm praying for a miracle to happen, persistence shows just how much it means to me. It's kind of like this. Have you ever noticed that the longer you have to wait for something, the more you want it, right? Like the desire builds and builds and builds, or it doesn't. And it just goes away. Like the longer you got to wait for something, either you really, really want it, or you realize, maybe I don't really want it. Maybe I don't really need this. You see, I think prayer kind of works that way for us. The longer we pray for something, it becomes clearer to us. This is really something that God has put this desire on my heart. Or maybe not. Maybe I should move on. Maybe this isn't what God wants for me. I think that persistence clarifies things. You know, for the longest time when I was in seminary, I was praying for my own church. When I got out, man, I wanted the suit. I wanted the robe. I wanted to walk down the aisle at the end of service and give the benediction. May the Lord be with you and guide you and uphold you with his mighty hand. Could you see me doing that? I know, me either. So I was praying for it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then I began to think about it, and I was like, does God, like, is that really what he wants for my ministry, for me in ministry? So then my prayers began to shift, because I think that persistence clarifies. Another thing persistence does is it prepares. Number two, another separate thing, just write this off on the side. Persistence also, it prepares us. You see, while you're praying, God is working. Right? And God is way more interested in working on you. Like, God is way more interested in working in your life. Like, he wants to answer your prayers, but he's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. Okay, let me say that again. He's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. So he's going to want to change you. And he's going to want to make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. And that means denying things, and that means serving, and that means giving up things, right? So he wants to do that work in us. Think about this. When the Israelites were wandering through the desert, and we've been through that story. They were there for 40 years, right? And they were praying and praying and looking for God to move and work and guide them into a new place, right? They were bored. They didn't know what was next. But they wanted their own land. And for 40 years of wandering, you know what God was doing? He was preparing them. He was strengthening them into a nation so that when they went into the promised land, man, they took it over. So all this to say, be persistent in your prayers, okay? It shows that desire that you have. It prepares you. A power prayer is one that is passionate and it's persistent and it does not give up. And that's what this blind beggar did, man. And guess what? Jesus heard him. And Jesus stopped. Point number three is this. When we pray, we got to pray specifically. We got to be specific in our prayers. Okay, don't be vague. Don't be general. Like, really spell it out. Like, be precise. Tell God what you need. This is what the beggar did. Look at verse 40. It says this. When Jesus heard him, so Jesus takes notice. This guy is passionate. He is persistent. Jesus stops, and he orders that the man be brought to him. Somebody had to go get him, right? He can't see. Somebody goes and grabs him by the hand, pulls him over to Jesus, and as the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And this guy said, I want you to bless me. This guy said, you know, it'd be great if you could just do anything, Jesus. This guy said, you know, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you want. No, this guy said, I want to see, right? This guy is doing everything right when it comes to how to approach God. He doesn't have to think about it. Like, what does he need? What does he want? Man, I want to see. I'm not going to be vague here. I'm going to tell you exactly what I need. Now, did Jesus know this about him? Of course he did. So another question would be like, why even have to ask him? I think what Jesus is doing is that he wants to hear from this guy. He wants him to ask. He wants him to be specific. Like, he wants to have a conversation with him. He wants to have a relationship with this guy. Where this guy can come to Jesus, right, have a conversation with him, and know that he is being heard, that he is being listened to. Like, how beautiful is that? Because nobody else in the crowd is listening to this guy. Nobody is paying attention to him. In fact, what is everybody else doing? But they are telling him to be quiet. Stop talking. And Jesus, instead, he invites him over. And he's like, no, come here. Let's talk. I want to listen. I want you to tell me what you need. He wants to have that relationship with us. Again, one of the downfalls, I think, in our prayer life is that we wonder if God's really listening or not, so we're just generic in how we approach God. Like, we're just so vague sometimes that we become repetitive, and I think that those prayers only get so far. Because if God's If God's desire is to have a relationship with us, then those types of monotonous prayers that we say, they don't really showcase much of a relationship, do they? No. And honestly, those types of prayers where we're just vague, and we're just going through the motion, they're lazy. They're just lazy. Being specific, being passionate, and being persistent with it, man, that takes effort. It takes thought, that takes time, that takes attention, right? So if Jesus were to come up to you right now and ask you, what do you need? What would you say? Would you just say, God, just bless me? Or do you have something specific? Like, God, I need you in this area of my life. Let's be specific. Are we willing to be like this guy and just tell him exactly what we need? Or are we just going to look at Jesus and say, whatever? Let me give you a verse. Philippians 4:6 says this, and this is a verse that we're all familiar with, but it says, pray about everything. We're supposed to go to God with everything that we have in life, right? Little, small, everybody's like, well, what kind of prayers can I say? Can I really pray for, yes, the scripture says pray for everything, right? But when you do, tell God what you need. What is it specifically? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What keeps you up at night? What wakes you up in the morning? What are you anxious about? What are you afraid of? Tell God what you need. And then for the fourth point, this is a theme here that's been working its way into each message every week, but we have to be expectant. We got to expect God to answer, right? When we're going to him like this and we're being specific, man, we got to believe and have faith in him. This beggar, like, he is expecting Jesus to help him. Look at this verse in verse 42. He says, Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. I love this. What brought the healing? Your faith. We go back to this word faith again. Faith is such a big deal. Believing that God is going to come through and that he is going to answer, that he is going to hear, that he is going to bring that miracle. Your faith is what has healed you. This guy is looking at, he is looking at this guy going, I can see your heart. And I know that you believe. And some of us, when we talk about faith, we talk about prayers, we talk about healing, and we talk about miracles and all this kind of stuff. Some people will just look at me and they're like, but Jimmy, I don't feel like I have that kind of faith. And the biggest reason that we struggle with this idea of having enough faith is because we don't believe deep down inside that we deserve God's answers. Like, we don't deserve for God to hear us. Like, we don't deserve for God to answer these prayers because of who I am, because of what I've done, because of what I've said, because the past often trips us up as we try to move forward into the future. And you know what I have to say about that? When we feel like we don't deserve it, you're right. You're absolutely right. You don't deserve it. And neither do I. But Jesus came to this earth anyway. And Jesus died for us anyway. And he saved us anyway. And God wants a relationship with us anyway. And do you know why? It's all because of grace. It's all God's grace given to us. His grace is sufficient for you. And you know what? If you're feeling that way, like, I just don't have the faith. You know what? You're not alone. Nobody really feels like they have the faith sometimes. So Jesus approaches this, and he says in the Gospels, he tells us a story about this as well. And he says, you know what? It's not so much the size of your faith that matters, so much as it is the size of your God that matters. Because Jesus looks at us and he says, if you have faith as small as a seed, right? We sang about this in one of the songs this morning, that he can move mountains. Just that amount of faith is strong enough to move the heart of a powerful God who will work in our lives. So don't worry about, I just don't feel like, don't think that you got to be like Moses. Don't feel like you got to be like Abraham. Don't feel like you got to be like Billy Graham. Don't feel like you got to be like Stuart McWhorter. I mean, who can possibly measure up, right? I love it when I call people out in the crowd, everybody gets antsy, like, oh gosh. You know, that kind of faith, just the smallest amount of faith, is a big deal. So even though we're called to have a little bit of faith to move the heart of a great big God, I still feel like we need to work on our faith, right? I still feel like we need to grow our faith. We still ought to be about increasing our faith. So how do we do that? Like, how do we increase our faith? Let me give you two things, okay, real quick. These are extra too. You can write these off on the side. Let's see, Strohs, did I put this in here? Point number one? No, I did not. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Here's point number one. Fill your mind with God's word. This is how you increase your faith. Fill your mind with God's word. Okay, the more you read scripture, the stronger your faith is going to get. Right? And this is good because we're going through this Bible study in the book of Luke, right? So when you're reading through Luke, and even if you're not in a study, you can read through the book with us as we go towards Easter, as we take that journey, we'll take it together. But when you read through Luke, circle those pieces of scripture and commit them to memory. Yeah, like in chapter 7, when Jesus says that if you ask, you'll be given, and if you seek, you'll find, if you knock, the door will be open. That's a great one to remember. Or in chapter 12, when Luke reminds us not to worry because God cares for the flowers, God cares for the birds. Isn't God going to care for you too? Like those pieces of scripture, like those are so good to stick in our minds. Those will help to increase our faith. The second thing you can do is pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. Like whatever you're praying right now, take it up a notch. Take it up just a little bit and let's see what God can do. Right? Take that. Have a little bit more faith and see what happens. Ratchet it up a step. A little bit of faith can move the heart of a big, big God. And then the last thing I want to bring up when it comes to power prayers is be sure to be grateful. Be grateful. Be sure that when you're praying, you thank God. Knowing, like we said before, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve His grace. We don't deserve for Him to do anything in our life. And we see this in this blind beggar. He says here in verse 43, after he's been healed, he says, instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus and did what? He praised God. He did two things here. He followed and he praised. He followed and he gave thanks. When God answers your prayers, don't just write it off. Don't just move on and forget about it, because that's what we do. This is why it's so good to keep a prayer journal. This is why it's so good to write things down so that you remember, so that you can go back and see how God, because as soon as we get what we want in life, isn't it so easy just to move on? We forget to go back and to give Him praise and thanks for what He's done. But if we do, if we're grateful, it'll increase our faith. I bet this guy, I bet he followed Jesus so closely nobody else could get near him, right? I bet the rest of this day, this guy is just like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, thank you. Can I get you some Starbucks, Jesus? Can I carry your bag for you, Jesus? Can I wash your feet, Jesus? Like, what can I do for you? This guy, man, should be the same in our hearts, don't you think? When God moves and works in our lives, we should take that time. Let me go back to Philippians 4 real quick. I want to point something out. Paul's giving instructions on prayer, and he says this. He says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And this is where we stopped before. But then he goes on and says, but don't forget to thank Him for all He has done. And then what happens? He says, then when you do that, when you pray about everything, you tell Him what you need, and you thank Him for what He's done, then you're going to experience God's peace. Whatever you're going through in life, you'll experience God's peace. Whatever that trouble is, whatever you're praying about, you do these things, you experience God's peace. And that, my friends, is a miracle in and of itself. So, I believe that we still serve a God of miracles. I really do. The same God that healed this beggar is the same God that works in our lives. So, I say that, saying that whatever you're struggling with going into this year, you may be depressed. Pray about it. I believe that God can bring joy. You may be worried. Pray about it. God can bring that peace that you need. You may have a physical need. Pray about it. God can give you the strength. You've got a conflict. Pray about it. God can give you the grace that you need. The question isn't, can He? The question is, are you? Are you really? Are you really praying about it? Let's go to him together. God, we just thank you for hearing us. When we come to you, God, we just thank you that in the midst of this crowded world that we live in, like we see the story of the blind beggar and how you stopped in the middle of everything and paid attention to this one guy. May we be reminded of that as we leave and we're in this place and it seems like there's so much going on in the world around us, and yet you listen to us, just one. God, we thank you for hearing us, for moving, for working, for guiding and providing. So God, today, may we come to you with our needs. God, scripture says to pray about everything, no matter how big or small it is, and tell you exactly what we need. So God, we're going to do that right now. So let's just pause and let's just pray right now, everybody. Let's just pray and just ask God for what you need. God, even in the silence, I know that there are some powerful prayers being lifted up right now. And Jesus, may we just have the faith to believe that you can move those mountains. So God, just be with us. And God, as we move forward and as we express those needs to you, God, just help us to be passionate and persistent and specific and just expect you to come through in our lives. And God, when you move, and when you work, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and glory, both now and forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.